Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and have a short to-do here today based on the trade of Adafe Owe to the Chargers today. If you haven't heard yet, and it's all over Twitter, so I expect you have by now, he's traded the Chargers for safety Alohi Gilman and a 2026 fifth-round pick. I assume always that that pick is a floater, meaning if the Chargers have a fifth-round compensatory pick, that's the one the Ravens will get, so it'll be towards the end of the fifth round. If the Chargers are continue on to play well and whatnot, it'd probably be towards the end of the fifth round anyway, but it'll be towards the end of the compensatory picks if it's a Chargers compensatory pick they acquire, which does matter a little bit. Owe was currently playing on his year 5 tag, which is significant in terms of dollars, has about $9.5 million remaining on that the Chargers will get. In exchange, the Ravens pick up the second of a 2-year deal on Alohi Gilman, which has $2.5 million left on it. Per Brian McFarland, there's roughly $7 million in cap savings with the exchange of contracts. So that at least is something in the Ravens' favor. Owe, one of their very tradable assets in terms of the potential gain from offloading him. And of course, if they were to make another move, they would have some additional cap in order to make such a move. Adafe had 10 sacks last year in a season where he had a very high close rate. His sacks plus his quarterback hits divided by his pressures, I define that as, was almost 50%. It was 23 out of 47 or 23 out of 48 for the year. So very close to 50%. But he had a reduced pressure rate from the year before. He actually had a significantly higher pressure rate, fewer pass rush snaps, and had a pretty decent pressure rate. It was right around 10%. That was reduced this last year, but he was at least closing on that in 2025. So far, he's been one of the few Ravens that has been generating pressure, even though he does not have a sack. So the notion that you won't miss Adafe Owe because, hey, he never gets the quarterback, blah, 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 blah. I think you're going to find that incorrect. And in fact, we have to think about who's going to take those snaps now. And it's some combination of Malik Ham and Adisa Isaac and David Ajabo, who hadn't been playing much so far, despite the fact that he was active now for either 2 or 3 consecutive weeks. It might be 2 consecutive weeks only. No, it might be 3. Either way, he's played very little. And now, you know, he's probably thrust into a bigger role. Owe this year had been playing primarily in obvious passing downs. He's got one of the most extreme situational pass rush splits that I've seen in recent years. 133 pass plays, only 33 run plays. That's a 4-to-1 relationship. You do see that occasionally with pass rush specialists. The Ravens haven't had that happen too much. And remember, Adafe Owe came out of Penn State with the oft-heard floor of outstanding run defense. And we've heard that with regard to David Ajabo, for example, as well. And Owe had played a very high percentage of snaps in some past years when the Ravens have needed him to. In fact, in excess of 65%, at least, I believe, in one of his seasons. So it's surprising that they would get rid of a fairly central cog in the defense. I would also look at this as a fifth round selection is not what I would expect them to get for trading Owe only midseason like this. Now, why is that? Well, Owe has a contract that is affordable to a fair number of teams who might be wanting to pick it up. They can move money around. They can make the $9 million in cap space that they need to pick him up. He can be traded. if they kept him to the end of the year, the Ravens pay that money, and then they get probably a fourth round selection in 2027. Instead, they'll get a fifth round selection in 2026. A lot of people would say that's the normal one round premium you might, you know, expect to change. Well, it's going to be a bottom of the fifth round pick for a pick in the bottom of the fourth round. I'm not excited about that exchange of selections. And I think that's one place where you don't see too many of the quote unquote Bisciotti reign of terror draft pick exchanges, where you pick a next year's four, you pick up in exchange for a five. So I think in terms of value, it comes in a little short of what I would expect. I would have expected a fourth round pick this year in 26 for Oway alone, or perhaps a third round pick in 2027, which is another way I think the Ravens could make some moves if they extend this fire sale to some other players. There may have been more difficulty than I'm really, you know, giving credit for in moving a salary of as much as $9 million. The Ravens have a number of other contracts which have lower salaries on expiring rookie deals that are eminently more tradable. Players like Linderbaum, likely Travis Jones, are much easier to trade. Mark Andrews is on the other side of that. He's still got a fairly significant 2025 cap number here, and so he's going to be a little bit harder to trade. So I've heard some lower picks, like maybe a sixth round pick or a fifth round pick, would be part of what they might get back for him. He still has a base salary of $7 million. That's going to be more than the expiring rookie deals, and a team that takes him is going to have to take on roughly $4.5 million of that, depending on exactly when that trade might be made. And it's not the sort of amount that I think people are anxious to take on to and also give up draft capital. So it may be that Andrews has to be traded more economically if there is a fire sale of the remaining Ravens contracts. Now, I think there are some people out there. Well, let's talk about Oway a little bit more before we talk about what this trade means and the return for the Ravens. He came out of Penn State in 2021. I mentioned the run defense thing, but he's all conference in his final season despite a zero sack year. A lot of people very upset for the Ravens taking somebody who had zero sacks, but he had a very high pedigree coming out. Part of that, and part of the reason he was drafted 31st overall, was on the strength of a freakish combine performance that included a 4.36 40. You just do not see that out of edge rushers, and he was a rare super athlete. I think it's fair to say we did not see that transfer on the field. In particular, his power game, and he often went to the bull rush, was something that never really developed to the degree we could have expected. He did have a little bit of a spin move he developed, but in working with Chuck Smith and some of the other advantages he's had, I do think it's fair to say he didn't develop fully as a pass rusher. The 10 sacks last year to me were a little bit of closing rate added in exchange for reduced pressure rate, as I mentioned earlier. So from that standpoint, the Ravens will not completely miss him as a pass rusher, but they will certainly miss him in 2025 when they have very few pass rush assets. I think it was unlikely he was going to be re-signed as a Raven, given all of the contracts they have to work their way through. I think the Ravens are continuing negotiations with some other players, trying to figure out who they can get done among the key ones, Linderbaum likely, and Travis Jones. Potentially Mark Andrews is in that group as well, obviously at a different kind of a rate, probably lower than those other players. And so you'd expect that they're probably are fishing around to see which contract they can get done at a reasonable price. And otherwise, they'll have some exodus of talent in this year's free agency, which should net them a set of 2027 comp picks. Not something you want to have happen. In the last time the Ravens had a really great draft in 2018, before 22, I'm saying, they unwound that draft group a lot before they got to the end of it. So they didn't have a lot of players all departing at once. So of course, Jackson and Andrews were signed to long-term deals, but Kenny Young was traded for Marcus Peters in that very season. And Hurst was traded after a second year for a second round pick that ended up, I think, being an extremely good value for what the Ravens did. And then they ended up trading Orlando Brown for the equivalent of about a mid-second round pick to the Chiefs, and that was before that 21 season. In fact, that was the pick, I believe, that went to select Owe. So, you know, they made deals to unwind that draft before it all came due at the same time. In the 22 draft, the Ravens are still sitting on the bulk of those players. I'm just going to go to that draft really quickly and talk through it. But in the 22 draft, they drafted Kyle Hamilton, number one. They've signed him long-term. Tyler Linderbaum, also in the first round at 25th with a pick they acquired in the Marquise Brown trade. He's still set to go to free agency. The second round pick was David Ajabo, who they still have. And I don't imagine they will make an effort to re-sign him. I think he's playing out the string in Baltimore this year. Travis Jones is the third round pick. He's still a Raven, of course, and very much someone that is central to their pass rush that they need to re-sign. I think he's probably the most important of their three big time free agents between likely Linderbaum and Jones. He's the one I feel the Ravens need to sign. Daniel Falele, the fourth round pick, still here and playing, starting at right guard, whatever you think of him. Jalen Armour-Davis, a cornerback they cut this draft. Charlie Kolar, still here, definitely a guy who could be around next year. My guess is he probably moves on, and there's a team that really values his blocking. Jordan Stout, still here in the fourth round. Isaiah Likely, still here in the fourth round, and also along with Linderbaum and Jones, one of the big two. So the Ravens have not, and then Damarian Williams, Pepe Williams gone already, and Tyler Beatty gone as well. So they didn't keep any of either of their last two picks, but their first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 picks, all of them except for Jalen Armour-Davis are still with the team, which is something you normally cannot accomplish. But it's obviously, it's a great draft when you can keep them all and you can re-sign at least a couple of them. And the Ravens look to be in line to get that done with Hamilton, the crown jewel of that draft, already signed. And I imagine they're going to be able to sign 2 to 3 others. If I had to guess, one of Kolar or Stout, maybe both, and then possibly one or two among the other big three as well. So that 2022 draft, a great one for the Ravens, and certainly one that they still have some outstanding business with in terms of what's going on, and some value to harvest, frankly. Some of those players are going to leave, and the Ravens are not going to be able to afford them, and they'll get comp picks for them. So DaCosta gets a major kudos, certainly, for that draft. Talking a little bit about Owe Moore. He gained 20 pounds to bring added power to his pass rush this
season. Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18-plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5. 526 terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Season playing at approximately 265 pounds. I mentioned he's played so many snaps, but he's also played almost exclusively on pass rush snaps. That may have played a hand in it. I don't know how the Ravens feel about him playing with that extra weight, whether they feel like it's really been a detriment to him in terms of staying on the field for more snaps. I don't know if there's an attitude issue of any sort or an effort issue associated with the Ravens' current standing and Owe being not under contract for next year and really wanting to make sure he cashes in free agency. He could be a player that, you know, people would say is giving less than maximum effort. I don't really buy into that, by the way, and I hope people won't take that from this pod that I'm saying that Owe is giving less than maximum effort. But I always look for what are the signs and why a player might be traded for a little bit less value than I would otherwise expect. And that could be something. It could be also that he's a, what I'll call a quiet dissenter in terms of what's going on defensively for this team. Maybe he feels like he should have more freedom to stunt, and he doesn't like the fact that it looks like the last two games that Zach Orr has cut off stunts versus Mahomes, and then again this last week versus the Texans and C.J. Stroud in order to contain the pocket. He may feel like that's hurting him as a pass rusher. Could be a lot of things that are kind of beyond our sight. And again, I have no inside knowledge of this. I'm not privy to any of it, but I speculate that there might be something more to this deal when I see a move made like this. Another probable reason for this trade, and this is really unfortunate, is that with the pickup of Gardner Johnson today, he's just on the practice squad, and also a trade for another safety, Alohi Gilman. It looks to me like the Ravens may have more bad injury news to report on Wednesday of this week. Now, the possibility is that either Lowry maybe has suffered an injury, or Hamilton will not be back as soon. That would really be terrible. Or that Starks has a problem of some sort that they haven't made public yet. So I'm concerned about what the injury report is going to look like at safety come tomorrow. I know it has been posited by some Ravens fans that this may be a case of just wanting to play Hamilton closer to the line of scrimmage. And let me just say this. If they acquired Alohi Gilman to play Kyle Hamilton close to the line of scrimmage, I'm all in on that move. I can even live with the value lost on Oway's trade relative to what I think they should have gotten, given they're going to move Hamilton back to slot corner. And that could be the case. And obviously, the two positions which hurt, or two of the positions which really hurt the Ravens in this last game, were at strong safety, or the half field safety, in terms of Lowry, who had a couple of misplays in terms of being in the wrong position on touchdown passes. And also, I think it's fair to say that Keon Martin, while he's playing very hard and the effort level is clearly there, had an offsides penalty, a defensive pass interference, both of which I thought were kind of ticky-tack, and they also ran out of bounds to negate a 61-yard punt. That's a bad trifecta for one game, and it's easy to see that Harbaugh or others on the team, other coaches, would be unhappy with that, and they might attempt to replace some of his slot corner snaps with Hamilton if they could. We don't know what the situation is with Humphrey, if that's going to take more time, so boy, would it be great news if this is just a clever move to get Hamilton back to slot corner, improve the pass rush and run defense that way, get a competent safety on the back end. We'll get into Gilman in a second. From that perspective, I could see the move and like it more than I do in terms of just an exchange for a value for Oway. Let's talk about Gilman. Gilman is a safety. He just turned 28 in September. He's played over 70% of his snaps over the last three seasons on the back end, either as a free safety or split safety. So typically when playing too high, he could be a free safety playing the free safety right or free safety left, they might call it the detailed splits of position that you'll see on PFF. But it's approximately 70% of his snaps have come on the back end. Now, like most safeties, he does come up towards the line of scrimmage, try and make a play. They'll rotate in an odd way where they might keep your strong safety on the back end for a play just to keep the other team guessing. So Gilman is a player who can do a little bit of that. He has not been bad in terms of his coverage grades the last 3 years, but he has a very unimpressive career yards per target number of 9.4. He has been better in 24 and 25. He graded out extremely well in 23 for the Chargers when he gave up over 10 yards per target. It's a statistic I think is the most meaningful for defensive backs, and it's something that I normally won't touch a safety when they're at 10 yards plus of YPT. But he's not quite there, but he's not a lot under it either. I will also say this. PFF tends to undercredit safeties with targets between level two and level three, which almost always is to their benefit. We saw that with Eddie Jackson. Eddie Jackson was a 10.0 yards per target player in his last four seasons with the Bears, but he was 10.4 or 10.5 when you added 44 additional targets, went from 100 to 144 if you looked at the Pro Football Reference targets. So there are definitional differences, and I'm not saying either is right or wrong, but I am saying that PFF typically is hitting the linebackers with those targets on the throws that are in the middle of the field between level two and level three to a greater degree than other sources. So you need to be careful to understand what you're looking at with that. What else to say about this? Gilman is on the second year of a two-year deal, has $2.5 million of base salary left on it. He earned that current extension after that fine 2023 season. He also came from Notre Dame, and I believe he's played with Kyle Hamilton because he's in the 2020 draft. So he might have played. Now, he might not have played. He might have missed Kyle Hamilton. He might have played with Kyle Hamilton in 2019, would be my guess. At Notre Dame. So I'm not sure if they played on the back end together, if Hamilton wasn't really, hadn't really taken over a role at that point, but they're both Notre Dame kids. I think you probably are getting a heady safety in terms of Gilman. That's certainly his rep. Hopefully someone will pick up the playbook quickly, will know how to be in position, and will help the Ravens a little bit this year. I think it's actually a downgrade at the position, obviously, and it would be almost with anybody you'd pick up to have Gilman replace Hamilton on the back end. I don't see him as replacing Starks. If he did, I'm not sure how much of an immediate degrade it would be, but Starks is clearly the guy you'd want over Gilman in the long run, because you know, Starks is a first-round draft pick and a guy the Ravens are really wagering on to have a big career. So Gilman, I think, is here for the rest of this year. I think he's a rental in terms of what you get. If he plays well, maybe he's a guy you bring back as a second safety, but he requires a kind of a mid-range deal. So it'd be a number that the Ravens may have trouble finding the money for. They may want to go cheap at the position or go with it, more likely go with a draft pick. You know, go find another safety they like with some ball hockey skills that they can play in a half field role for next year. Have Hamilton as a guy who plays on the deep end in a base defense and then moves up to play slot corner when you otherwise have 12 personnel, say, on the field, or you just want him in the slot anyway, even versus, say, a big slot receiver for another team. So there's very few slot receivers, honestly, that Hamilton's not a good matchup for, but there are guys. I mean, if he had Tyreek Hill in the slot or something like that, then he wouldn't be a good matchup for that. He's a good matchup for big slot receivers, and he's a good matchup. So if DeAndre Hopkins was on the slot for some other team next year, Kyle Hamilton's an excellent matchup for him. And he's a really good matchup for tight ends. So hopefully, you know, this is a move where that's part of the vision for this after the bye, is to make use of Hamilton's versatility to try and create more defensive playmaking close to the line of scrimmage, in which case it's a better move than I'm giving it credit for. If I'm just to look at this from a grand scale, it's a little bit less than I would have hoped the Ravens got for Odafe Owe, given what I think they were going to get in terms of a comp pick and how important he is to the pass rush, frankly, this year. I think they're losing a lot. So the Ravens don't have a bunch of edge rushers, and it will be Malik Cam, David Ajabo, and Adisa Isaac, if he gets healthy, who would be the likely beneficiaries of this trade in terms of playing time. David Ajabo has not played much and could well be an inactive player when Isaac is ready to go, but it wouldn't even surprise me if the Ravens elevate Malik Cam and he becomes a guy who, at least for 3 weeks, that they're splitting time between him and Ajabo before they make a decision about who they like more. Ajabo's now been a healthy scratch and a fringe roster player now for about the last two-thirds of a season, and not a guy they've looked at to a lot of playing time. And it's something that's been a little unfortunate. Obviously, David Ajabo has just not been the player the Ravens had hoped he'd be when they drafted in the second round. Obviously, that's the case, and it's just a matter of what do you want to get out of this player still. And honestly, I don't think he offers the Ravens a whole lot as a pass rusher or run defender. So I think they'll be looking to make a change when they have talent. It's quite possible the Ravens have another move coming to supplement the defense in a different way. Certainly possible. I don't know exactly what they would be doing in terms of acquiring someone. They probably are not trying to acquire someone for a big outlay in terms of draft capital. I think that would be a huge mistake to try and salvage 2025 by trading, say, a third round pick or higher. I don't even really expect them to trade a fourth round pick. I expect them to, in fact, have a net influx of picks if the season continues the way it's going and additional fire sailing has to be done. They have some real value about that. We'll talk about that in a pod over the bye week. Anyway, folks, thanks for listening. Unfortunate news today, obviously, or maybe fortunate, depending on who you are. But the news is the news, and here to report it. If you're interested in doing a film study short over the bye week, there'll be an opportunity to do some. Hit me up. DMs are always open on Twitter. Thank you for your loyalty, and please tell one new person about this pod if you think they'd like this content. Otherwise, like and subscribe on YouTube, and I'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
You don't need to be ripped. You just need the right shirt. Epic Fits gives you a clean, confident silhouette. Snug on the arms, soft on the skin, generous where it counts. And with deals like $15 per tee, they won't break the bank. Visit epicfits.com today. Epic Fits. T-shirts that get it.